Every day I look at the news on TV, things that I read, and I'm no longer getting surprised with all the weirdness. How about you?
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
There were a couple of stories that I ran across, I think, in the last day or two that caught my attention. Things that don't normally make the front pages, but they're there. And I'm looking at a couple of things about some of the executive orders that have occurred here in the United States. That under the Biden administration, things that 30 years ago would have been unthought of are now becoming normal. I'm looking at some of the executive orders that now promote homosexuality and transgenderism as a centerpiece of United States foreign policy. I don't know who's running the White House, but the insane asylum is now being run by the inmates. Literally, all U.S. government departments and agencies engaged abroad are to ensure that U.S. diplomacy and foreign assistance promotes, you ready for this? The lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and intersex persons around the world. This now becomes our centerpiece, our funding. In other words, being gay is more important than human rights of everybody else. We're going to be flying rainbow flags. We are, by the way, at our during the National Month for LGBTQ, whatever it is. We're going to be running rainbow flags up our flagpoles all over the world. I bet even at the Vatican. This is the kind of insanity that we now have running our government. I once teased that, you know, it's got to take brain syphilis to do some of the stupid things that people are doing. Well, I think I may have hit on something there, because it's also very contagious and it's spreading within our own government. Let me give you something else that I ran into that I found also equally as disturbing. When you think about the nation of France, they were supposedly one of those, you know, for free speech, free expression. And they understood the concept of liberty and even religious freedom. But not anymore. Another article that came out just a couple of days ago. France now considers evangelical Christians a threat. France. Now, remember, whatever happens in Europe gets into the United Kingdom, gets into Canada, and it filters down into the United States in just a matter of years. You know, back in the early 2000s, when they were beginning to have gay marriages, you know, same-sex marriage in Europe, people around here said it'll never come to the United States. Well, it did in 2015. It's only a matter of time. It always is. Evangelical Christians in France, they now are expressing some extreme unease as they see how the national government now inflames the rhetoric against believers and their churches. Now, what just happened was the words of the French Minister of the Interior, Gerald Darmanin, in an interview with the broadcast, one of the broadcast networks in France. He goes, "Evangelicals are a very important problem." And he added, "Obviously, not a problem of the same nature that Islam could make with terrorist attacks and death. But here was what the problem is. On the day before, speaking about the controversial anti-separatism law that is expected to be passed soon, he told the radio broadcaster France Inter, "We cannot discuss with people." Now listen to this carefully. "We cannot discuss with people who refuse to write on a piece of paper that the law of the Republic is superior to the law of God." Let me say that again. Here's the problem developing in France. They're beginning to realize that Christians believe in obeying the law of God before the law of man. And this guy wants people to write on paper that we hold the law of the Republic of France superior to the law of God. Friends, it's already beginning to happen in the United States. It's only It's only a matter of time. Just like in France, these kind of laws will set some constraints to freedom of worship and the principles of a free association to worship. I see it coming real soon. I see the church being gradually pushed out of the mainstream. Then I saw another story that comes from not far from where we live in Florida, where a judge dismissed a lawsuit challenging a mask mandate in one of the county school districts just adjacent to us. And the reasoning is that, you know, education, well, it's not a constitutional right federally or at the state level. But man, it can be a state requirement. You got to go to their schools. So I guess they can, based on that logic, I guess they could make you take a vaccine to go to school, which you have to go to because the law says so, even though it's not a constitutional right to have an education. The handwriting's on the wall. It's happening faster than you can believe. Just like that mayor in Tampa. I want the police to look over every video of anybody not wearing a mask. I want them prosecuted. Yeah, we got to keep the coronavirus and death alive until we hit the 500,000. Then Biden can cure it, and then we can get some of our freedom, but never all of it back. How are you going to live in this world that's being created for us by the tech tyrants, the oligarchs, and the extreme satanic forces of leftism? That's what it is. This is not just a political ideology. This is satanic. What is going on? That the centerpiece of our foreign policy is LGBTQ transgenderism. Friends, we're going crazy in this country, and we're going there real fast. What are you going to do? What is your plan going forward? I believe that God is preparing us for a different time. He's always prepared his church if you're willing to listen. And I hope that you will be listening today. Look, we live in a world of lies. We've been lied to about so much in just the past year or two. And then I see the insanity of Washington, D.C. It is like hordes of demons running around, just reprobating and destroying the brains of people that run our government. So what do we do in this world of lies? My guest today is the Reverend Dr. Timothy Gales again. And I brought him back because I wanted to just kind of pick up where we left off a day or two ago. So what do we do? What should be our plan?
As we've said in past shows, you know, we need to stand against the Great Reset. There needs to be a Great Reset. And Jesus will do that when he comes back. But what we need to do is resist this man-centered reset, which has a very spiritual overtone to it, and not a good one at that, because mm-hmm. It's going to not just cancel culture, it's going to cancel humanity out. And that's the objective and agenda by a very small group of people. But we need to have these intentional communities. We need to have an immunity from the cancel culture around us. But you can't get that when you're stuck to MSNBC, CNN, Fox News, all of these shows 24/7, because that is doing nothing but igniting fear in you all day long, every day. Your adrenaline goes up, the numbers go up, the deaths go up, all this stuff you see, and you're paralyzed. And we've talked about the paralysis of fear. You got to get away from that. Look, dying is not the worst thing. And understand this. You know, in the scriptures, Paul said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." How many Christians listening right now think dying is gain?
Because
if you did, you wouldn't be as scared of it, would you?
I think back a year ago, before the pandemic, before the churches were shut down and what have you, and I know people, friends, family, acquaintances, and they'll share the same story with me that I've heard. You've heard it. They go to these, what I call the Contemporex Church, and you know that's the one that is got, when you walk in, there's got a countdown timer on the big screen. You've seen that, you know, 10 minutes to the beginning of the worship service, you know, and then you have the music playing loudly, the people talking loudly, and as you get down to 5 minutes before the service, and the countdown. You start seeing people coming quietly onto the stage and plugging in their guitars and testing their microphone and, you know, rapping on the drums and all that. And you get down to 1 minute and the lights begin to fade. You know, you've been there, haven't you? One of those? I've been a couple.
Sure.
And, you know, and all of a sudden, the rock concert begins. It starts with a driving ballad, and the girl with the tight blue jeans that have rips carefully in the knees, and, you know, they're all stylish, is wailing out some song, slobbering about him. Him, I love him, and he loves me. I don't know if she's talking about her boyfriend or God or Jesus. You don't know, but it all, and everybody's swaying to the music. I mean, it's just like, you know, slow dancing, swaying to the music kind of thing. And I went to one of those. I was invited to visit, and I heard I was there for a series of sermons on the Book of Jonah. And the graphics were marvelous. The videos were impeccable. And people are saying, what a wonderful pastor we have. Yes, all the work that he does to put all this together. You know, about 3 weeks ago, I'm looking, actually about a year ago, I get an email. Being in the ministry, I get all these emails, you know, from all these church companies. And this guy by the name of Nelson Stursey, I don't know if you've ever heard of him or not. Now, I'm not throwing on him per se. But all his sermons are on sale, like up to 80% off. And I'm looking at this one series you can buy for, it had been $399 for this, you know, four-part series on the Book of Jonah. And I'm looking at the graphics, and I'm looking at the notes. I'm going, that's the same message I heard at that church 5 years ago. You know, and the same graphics, same. He didn't write any of it. He bought it. He just read it, you know, and practiced it.
Yep.
It comes with a practice video, practice audio, notes and liners, all the graphics, all the suggested music to run before and after. You know, it's all a package deal. And I remember one of our listeners to this program wrote me and said, I knew nothing about shortwave, and God laid it on my heart, and I found this program as a podcast. And she said, I used to attend this contemporary-type church and thought this is where God called me to be. Then the pandemic hit, and of course, I think she's in a blue state, to be honest. And so obviously, you know, it became an online service, where, you know, you have a few of the musicians and the pastor and the stage director, they all put on this video. And she said, it dawned on me that I've been watching a theatrical production this whole time, and this was not church. And when I see it for the first time on TV, it hits me. There's something missing here, and there's something wrong with this. And I'm looking now, where do I find the real meat of God's word? I'm tired of being fed pabulum and milk. This is where I'm getting is coffee, donuts, pabulum and milk. You know, what's going on here? What's your reaction?
Well, you know, it always bothers me when we call the area where the minister is a stage. That bothers me, you know, because there's something called sacred space, right? And that is something we don't see in those types of churches. There's nothing really, no sacred space. And there needs to be, because it gives you the idea of the holy.
Look, and the predecessors to those churches called it a platform, you know.
Sure.
They didn't call it, they may have used the term, some used the term sanctuary, but a lot of them started using the word auditorium, you know, 30 years ago when they were still in the church building. It became an auditorium, and it became a platform, and it became worship music instead of hymns. And it started changing one little piece at a time. And eventually, you know, as churches were shrinking, this was the idea of how we're going to save the church. We're going to call it the Grace Community or we're going to call it, you know, City Church or The Point or some other name, you know, that just doesn't say anything. You know, I look at this place. I saw this billboard over the weekend. My wife and I are driving back from this piece of property I'll talk about later. In the second half as we enter it, or before the end of the program. I'm just going to tell you some of my reactions. I'll kind of update you again if you didn't catch the first moments of the program. But I saw this sign coming through this little town, and it had a big billboard. And it, you ever seen, you know, what I call the spike, not collar, but, you know, they have like the spike, what do you call it, like around your wrist. It looks like a, like, you know, like, you know, the mean dog has a spike collar. They have like the spike thing on your wrist. You ever seen those?
Yep.
And so there's this thing, come to the point where church is relevant. And you see this rock band, and two of the people got those, you know, things on their wrist, and it looks, and you see them, you know, head up, the sweat's pouring down, the lights on them, and they're wailing out a song on the billboard. Come to the point where it's relevant, and I'm going, what's relevant? I mean, what is it? But, you know, it's a bunch of young people in a concert. Is it a rock concert? And I'm looking at this, and it used to be. And it used to be, years ago, in this little town, it had been the old Church of God, you know, the Pentecostal version, like Cleveland, Tennessee Church of God, where the women wore the long dresses and never cut their hair, and all the men never unbuttoned the top button of their shirt, even in the summertime. You know, it was a holiness church. And now it's a rock concert church where everybody wears blue jeans and the sound system will make you go deaf. And this is relevant. This is the this is the mission of God now.
Because what's really relevant is the Word of God. Yeah. And when we're not preaching that, you know, I don't care. I have encountered being a minister. I remember one woman came up to me after service and she said, "Pastor, there are some kids in the back of the sanctuary here wearing Grateful Dead T-shirts." Mm-hmm. And I said, "Ma'am, we are the Grateful Dead," right? And I said, "But let me tell you something." I said, "You make a lousy Holy Spirit. I would rather them in here wearing those shirts right now, listening to the Word of God, than smoking crack out on the corner. And I'll tell you what, in time, you let the Holy Spirit sanctify. You let Him start to change them from the inside out.
Amen.
Then things will happen. You make a lousy Holy Spirit." And we need to remember that's what we do when we want people to be where we are spiritually.
One of the issues,
like that.
One of the issues many churches had, and, you know, 30, 40 years ago, really had, worse then than maybe today, was we had to get them cleaned up before they could come to church. They had to look like one of us. They had to dress like one of us. They had to know the hymns like we knew before you could even come into our club. And maybe, and then you, so it became this almost ludicrous process where everybody in that church has been going to that church, got married in that church, got baptized in that church. And every week, the preacher's trying to get the same group saved. Every week, you know, it's like the same message. If you don't know Jesus, come on down to the altar as the choir sings "Just As I Am" or some other hymn of, you know, of surrender. And, you know, so it's the same people every Sunday night and Wednesday, the same group. Yet every week we got to get them saved because just in case I missed. And you know, and you find out, you know, well, Miss Johnson there, she's come down to the altar 35 times in 42 years, you know, to get resaved. I don't get it, you know.
Well, that is what we do, those churches, and they have been. That's the milk, right? That's you're giving them milk. It's good to give the gospel.
You're giving them fear.
But when you're at a church, look, you're giving them the tall glass of milk every week, and they're not getting any meat.
Stop and
they
think.
They need to have meat.
How many churches like that use the fear message that if you don't know God, you're going to be burning in hell, and or the rapture will come, and you'll be left behind? You know, they use all the fear mechanisms to bring you in. And I'm trying to see in Scripture where that was ever the way that it was done. And I don't see that as referenced in Scripture, that they beat you over the head in fear. Instead, the apostles preached something really unique. It was called hope. What a concept.
Yeah. What does the Great Commission say?
Go ye therefore.
Yep. And preach the gospel to all nations, right? Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Make disciples of all nations. That means once you preach the gospel, once they hear the gospel, then you start discipling them, teaching them how to live the faith. And that's the teaching of the meat of the word that you get into. And this is what we need to do.
Church,
so, my philosophy is to go verse by verse through the scriptures.
Amen.
Every book of the Bible.
It just hit me. I don't know where this came from, but Lord, thank you just for putting this on my mind. You know, the government controlled the people for this past year with a pandemic by using what? Fear. Am I right?
Yep.
It wasn't logic. It was fear. If you don't wear a mask, you will kill somebody. And if you see somebody not wearing a mask, they may be out to kill you. So we're afraid. Stay home. And you notice everybody that told you to stay home, told you to social distance, told you where you couldn't go to your job anymore. They're government people. They got paid the whole time. They never missed a paycheck. Yeah, they're just doing fine. And they got their retirement. And, you know, they're taxpayer funded. They never lost anything. But they didn't care if you did. Didn't matter because we're saving lives. We're destroying lives. We're destroying families. Suicide rates are through the roof.
Saving lives through selfishness, through egotistical, through ratting people out, through, I mean, that's saving lives? No. As a matter of fact, I think you're inverting what life really is.
And that's why it just hit me. So why do so many churches use the same methodology of scaring people into the faith? Think about
because
that for a second.
They don't know how to disciple them in the faith. That's their fallback, is that some people will come.
Lord, I don't want to die, and I don't want to, and I don't want to be burning away. And suddenly it hit me. We don't need to scare people into the kingdom of God.
No.
We need to bring them in. We need to invite them in and let them know that, guess what? You're coming into this wonderful relationship with God. And the world's going to hate you. Satan's going to make a target out of you. And in this new world we're living in now, you're going to lose social credit real quick. So, you know, the day's going to come that the Bank of America is going to say, we don't want your account. Go away, you evil Christian. That day is coming.
Yeah.
You know,
yep, it is.
There's going to be banks that are going to be looking, oh, you give money to that church, or oh, maybe we don't want to associate with you because you are one of them.
Or you have the fish symbol on your check.
You need to be re-educated. Your children need to be taken from you because you're filling their minds with all this baloney about a God.
Right, right. Well, that's where society is. You know, there is two types of fear. There's the bodily fear and the spiritual fear, and they are different, but they are fear. One, Jesus said, fear not him who can kill your body, but fear the one who can cast body and soul into hell.
Exactly.
There's a different way of looking at that. I'm not using that fear and saying to people, you better come to him or he's going to cast body and soul into hell. People already know that. They know there's a hell. What I'm trying to tell people is, look, we fear God in the sense of who he is, but we also know his mercies are new every morning.
Yes.
For great is his faithfulness, not mine. And if you're like me, you know that. I tell people, before I even begin talking to them, I let them know that I'm the log in my own eye.
Amen. You know,
that's where we are.
One of the things about the Christian faith, and we're going to be going to a break here in just a moment. One of the things about the Christian faith, it is based on fact, not fear. It is based on the truth of God's word, not the lies of man. When you look at all we went through last year, and even to this day with the virus, we are learning. You have learned if you listen as a regular listener to this particular radio program. They move the goalpost. Look at everything. I wish I had a montage. I don't have time to put it together today. Maybe I'll do it next week. I don't know. Maybe somebody already has and I'll find it. A montage of everything that Dr. Fauci ever said from the beginning of the daily press briefings about the virus, even before the press briefings when he was on the news and quiet, you know, coming on gradually in February. And look over everything he said for the past 12 months and look at how many times it has changed, how many times he has lied, how many times the goalposts get moved, how many more times are they going to be moved before you catch on that he doesn't know what he's talking about or he's covering up what he knows. I mean, that's what it comes down to. He's either lying or covering up. And I think he knows some things he doesn't want you to know. Even about the vaccine. I think he's part of the problem. Am I being some kind of a weird conspiracy theory person for even daring say something Look, a virus is not a living organism in the true sense of the word. It's genetics, and it doesn't seek to kill its host because it wants to inhabit a host to make more like a parasite of itself. It wants to replicate. If it kills the host, well, then it's not going anywhere. You know, I mean, that's rule number one about, you know, virology. Mm-hmm. So if it's going to keep killing every time it hits somebody, it's not going to go anywhere. It's going to stop. I mean, let's be honest. You can't spread it if you're dead. Am I right?
You're right. And you know, are you a conspiracy theorist? No. When you're sitting back and you're connecting the dots with factual information and truth.
You look at the Imperial College of London became the resource, and we all learned by the month of March that 3.5 million people are going to be dead by the end of the year. No, by summer in the United States, 3.5 million dead by summer. And it was like 100-some-odd thousand at that point. Am I right?
Yeah. And it's never gone any higher. And we had to do what? We had to get rid of all flu, all accidents, and add them in there
number of heart disease cases. All these, you know, you can have things that mimic a heart attack, and it can be called COVID.
Sure.
It is because that's a new symptom they added to the list of like 40, it's like 30 symptoms. I'm going, wait, 30 symptoms for the same disease and they're all different.
And it's all part of the lie that we're being given with this entire thing that Fauci is propagating. That's why he moves the goalposts. That's why we see these lies and distortions and statistics and on the media, all of it. And you have to say, why? What's going on behind?
When the summer came, we're all told we're going to have a uptick again in the fall. So we need we need vote by mail, obviously, because it's going to come back in time for the election. And so everybody's signing off on this voter fraud nonsense in the month of May. We're already getting ready. As the numbers are going down, we're already setting up the voter fraud in May and June. I mean, we did. I mean, that's what would happen. That's what happened in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, Georgia. It happened. You can't tell me that it didn't. It did. We set it all up. We teed it up. We're good to go. And when we didn't have 3 million people die by the summer, I think some people should have scratched their head and said, wait a minute. Was all this because of a face mask and social distancing? We were told it was going to be 2 million if we did it all right. You know, it was going to be 3.5 if we did nothing. We could get it down to 1.5 million, maybe 1 million, 1.5 million, maybe under 2 million. I mean, this is the nonsense that's coming out. We forget what they were telling us back then. Okay, then the summer came and it was 121,000, not 1.5 million. And we're not even sure if all those were accurate. But we continue on with the same stupid, process of shut them down, can't meet, no restaurants for you, no, you go to a bar, and I'm not encouraging that, but I'm saying you're going to die of the virus. And we used fear to lock the world down. When we come back, and I'm going to leave time before the end of today's program, when we come back, I'm going to share just a few thoughts about some of the things that are going on right now, and some of the opportunity that I'm just trying to discern God's will. I'll share that when I get back, and we'll kind of close out with that program I shared yesterday. I think that if you didn't hear it yesterday, be ready to hear it again, or get someone else to listen. I think it just really talks about what I think many Christians are now being called to do. If you believe in the ministry of Truth to Ponder, would you let me know? And you can go to our website, truth2ponder.com. The show's available as a podcast. Share it with your friends and your family and people you know. And also pray that we can, keep it on shortwave. I mean, it's not free, but it's not too bad, but it's not free. I can't afford it by myself, trust me. And so any help you give just goes to buy the airtime. Our mailing address is Truth to Ponder. And our address is 21 Berkshire, B-E-R-K-S-H-I-R-E, 21 Berkshire Lane, number 263. That's our little mailbox, number 263, in Sky Valley, Georgia, zip code 30537. Thank you, so many that have supported the program, and I don't know what I'd do without you. and the encouragement you give me, the material you send. I really do read it. I really do. And as I vet through it, you'll hear eventually on this program, when I'm confident and I know that the Lord says now's the time, you'll be hearing it. A lot of things have been sent to me in recent weeks, and I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. We will be right back.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
The eyes of the beholder. Shalom Aleichem. This is the nice Jewish boy, Jonathan Kahn, your Jewish connection, bringing you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving a special free gift you're going to get and love in a moment. Now, in the ancient Middle East, eyes were everything. The women were veiled, so the only thing you could really see were their eyes. So back then, everything was riding on the eyes. Forget the nose job, forget the lipstick, forget the rouge, but go out and buy tons of Visine and cartons of Maybelline. All they saw were the eyes. So in the book of Genesis, the maiden Leah is described as being weak-eyed, which can mean either one whose vision is impaired or one who isn't beautiful to look at. Now, the connection is profound and biblical. It's a link between seeing and being. Messiah said the same thing. He said, if your eye or your seeing is good, then your whole being will be filled with light. Paul said it a different way. He said, all things are impure to the impure. In other words, if you're always seeing impurity, you yourself are impure. But if you see the light, then you yourself will be filled with light. Spiritually speaking, you are what you see. The way you look is the way you will look. The way you look at the outside is the way you will look from the outside. The way you look at others is the way you will look to others. You'll become the way you see. So if you always see the worst and impure in everything, you yourself will become impure and the worst person you can become. But if you always look for and see the best and the beautiful and the hand of God and the face of God in everything, then you yourself will become the best and most beautiful person you can become. Your choice, my friend. Look beautifully and you'll look beautiful. See God in everything, and you too will become beautiful, because beauty truly is in the eyes of the beholder. Want more? Ask for the Children of Leah. Now, what if you could receive daily vitamins guaranteed to strengthen your spiritual walk with God? A 6-month supply for free. You can. Sapphire's daily spiritual vitamins for a victorious walk with God and updates on Israel, prophecy, and the incredible, the mystery of the temple doors, all free. You'll love it. How do you get all these free gifts? Easy. Just remember Jesus' Hebrew name, Yeshua, and dial it. That's all you do. Just dial 1-800-YESHUA-1. You'll be blessed, but call now. 1-800-YESHUA-1. Now, you can actually spread salvation around the world for very little through shortwave radio from the Arctic Circle to Israel. It's amazing. It's like sending a billion tracks around the world. Just call now. 1-800-YESHUA-1. YESHUA-1. Or write me direct. The Nice Jewish Boy at Box 1111, Lodi, LODI, New Jersey, 07644. It's a nice Jewish boy. It's 1111, Lodi, LODI, New Jersey, 07644. Till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying Shalom Aleichem. Peace be to you, my friend, and Messiah, Yeshua Tenu, our salvation.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I want to welcome you back to part two of our Thursday edition of Truth to Ponder. I'm your host, Bob Bierman. My guest today, he'll be back in just a moment, is the Reverend Dr. Timothy Gales. Over the last day or two, I've kind of mentioned something that my wife and I are looking at, and we're trying to put things together. Sometimes I believe things come really fast, and it's hard to keep track of what God is trying to tell his people to do. I'm thinking of some of the needs of my extended family. I am thinking in terms of the ministry that God has given me, both in church work and in also in producing this radio program. And I believe the additional responsibility of helping to build community for Christians for when times get vastly more difficult. Now, we looked at a piece of property. This may be nothing, but it may be something, and I need your prayers. We don't know. We see possibility, but we don't know if we're the ones to invest or just pass on this. I do know that I want to see shortwave radio's outreach increase. I do need to see more platforms for people to use to connect that are away from the tech tyrants. I get it. We're going to have to do something. Not a day goes by that I don't find some legitimate Christian news source being deplatformed by one of the tech tyrants. Maybe it's YouTube, which is owned by Google. Maybe it's Facebook. Twitter doesn't matter. They're flexing their muscle. They know they've got you on the run, or they think they do. They believe you depend on them more than you depend on your God. And so they're going to force you to comply by deplatforming you or threatening to do so. They want you silenced. Don't you know it? That's why I do this radio program as a podcast, but also on shortwave. It's important that the word gets out there. Every day I get an email or a letter from somebody that found the program and is learning something. I hope you're one of them. If you believe in this ministry, guess what? I don't pay myself. I don't have to. God has taken care of my particular need. I just worry about paying the airtime bill on the two radio stations we're currently on. Right now, most of the airings are on WRMI, 4 p.m., actually 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 5950 kilohertz. And then again at 6 p.m. at 9395, and four nights a week at 5950. Also KVOH out of Los Angeles at 9975 kilohertz, 11 p.m. Eastern. It takes some money. If you can help, please do. Like I say, I don't pay myself, just the airtime bill. You can use the website to support us, or you can send a check to Ancient Word Radio, 21 Berkshire, B-E-R-K-S-H-I-R-E, 21 Berkshire Lane, number 263 in Sky Valley, Georgia, zip code 30537. Dr. Gales, how do we develop these communities that we'll probably need real soon?
Well, it's going to take organization and effort, as I've said in the past, right? We need those communities. We've talked about intentional communities. We help one another out. We separate ourselves. We make ourselves immune to the cancel culture around us, so we're not so worried about the big tech taking away mm-hmm. things. We need more web service providers that are owned by people who respect free speech.
That's right.
We may even need our own internet. All of this stuff is going to take organization and effort, and communities can be those safe havens, I said before, for civil liberties, but it means we can't be isolated from each other anymore. We've got to be connected, and to be connected by more than our principles, our religion, and so forth, we also need to be connected to action.
And don't make politics the big thing of your connection, because that's going to be, my fear is, you know, we may have some common politics, but I think politics becomes dangerous if it becomes what binds us together, because then we're going in contradiction to Scripture that says, do not put your trust in princes or the sons of men.
That's right.
You know, I've been telling people that, you know, I've really come, the Lord laid this on my heart last week. I said it over the weekend program emphatically, and I'm going to say it again. Stop putting your hope in politics. Number one, if you are a politician and you feel you must compromise your faith to make your voting base happy, you have a decision to make. Either resign your church and kiss God goodbye and tell him I don't believe you anymore, or say goodbye to your politics. You cannot be duplicitous. I'm tired of it. There are politicians, well, you know, personally I'm pro-life, but I'm going to vote to kill babies with your money. No, then you just told God, I don't believe your word. I'm denying your word. I choose to live in my sin. I am, you know, I'm going to tell you something. I really believe, you know, Baptists are right, but they're wrong on something. And I got a lot of good friends. And understand this. You're right. God's not going to take away your salvation. He's not going to do it. He promised to seal you to the day of redemption. But guess what you can do? You can forfeit it on your own willingly. I mean, we forget. The Bible talks about, why do we forget this verse in the Bible? Why do we forget the number of times those that have fallen away from the faith are the hardest to bring back? You know, am I wrong? Doesn't the Scripture warn us there are those that walked away from the faith? And I don't want to hear this baloney, oh, they were never saved. No, they consciously chose to walk away. They knew God. They knew of him. They called on his name. God has redeemed them. And then on their own, they come to this point like the politicians do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm pro-life personally, but I can't take away a woman's right to butcher their baby in the womb. I'll even fight for that right, and I'll even get taxpayers to fund it in other countries.
Once you transgress your conscience once, it becomes easier each time. It's kind of like you walking through a field of weeds, okay? And you walk through that field every day, and you start patting down those weeds under your feet, and then the trail becomes more visible over time because you've hardened and patted down all those weeds. And you know, this is what we do to our conscience, right? And we cauterize it. And so that it doesn't bother us anymore. Mm-hmm. So now I will appeal to those abortionists, you know, and my platform because, you know, I mean, I know it's not right. I don't believe it, but it's only one thing, right?
Maybe you do, but well, here's the key. I'm beginning to think in some cases they really do believe it's okay. They're not having an issue with it anymore. But they got to walk this duplicitous line because, you know, you take a person like Joe Biden. He claims to be, just like Nancy Pelosi, a good praying Roman Catholic. I'm a good Catholic girl, and I believe in abortion. And half the things the church teaches, I refuse to believe. But I'm a good Catholic, and I go to Mass, and I pray. But I don't believe anything they say. You know, I don't believe in what they say about these topics. Yeah, you have a few bishops in the Roman Church that are willing to call it out, but the rest are all cowards. And the same is true within the Methodist Church, the Lutherans and Episcopalians. They don't call sin out anymore. Oh, well, there's no such thing as sin. You know, we're all God's children. He loves us, and we need to love everybody and accept everybody as they are. And we need to celebrate all the things that God used to call reprobate and sin. I mean, we are to celebrate it. We're, you know, if we don't celebrate it, well, we're going to take points off your social score. You might lose your bank account. You might lose your job. You know, right. I mean, this is where we're going.
It's not even the fact that it's the pressure, right? I see, yes, people do get pressured into doing that and compromising, but that wouldn't be what we see today. What I see today is infiltration. I see today a purposeful infiltration of all of the institutions, including the churches.
Amen.
And putting people in there who never believed anyway, because they are darkened in their hearts and they want to promote an agenda. And so what I would say is what we see today is evil growing bolder.
Amen.
Bolder.
Like I say, we may have our politics in common in some ways, but let me just explain it like I explained it over the weekend, if you missed the weekend version and last Friday. If you are in politics and you feel you must compromise, look, it's one thing to understand that people, you cannot legislate them into the faith. You're not going to do that. But there are things that in your work in politics that These are sins you are forcing others to do and embrace. There's where the line is drawn. I can't legislate your faith. I can't do a law in my little town of Sky Valley or down in Florida that everybody must believe as I do because that's the law. It's not going to work. But on the other hand, I can't have laws that go against what God's word says. That are openly promoting things against God's word. I can't do that. And if you're a politician and you're forced to do it, then you have a choice. Get out of politics right away or get out of your church right away because you're a fraud. In one of the two, you're a fraud. And so decide where you want to be fraudulent. You want to be a fraud in your faith? Or walk away from your politics and be secured in God's grace. I mean, that's what it comes down to. We can't play these games any longer. We have to take, I think the word you wanted to use was action. So what kind of action do we need to take? How do we become like, even if called to be a John Henry Bosworth? You know, so what do we do?
Start local, start in your churches, start, you know, the old art of canning food. Most people don't know it anymore, but there are those who do. Teach the young women and men in how to can food, how to start learning to do that.
Men, my wife and I talked about that over the weekend. We looked at something where that could be done, and we're thinking to ourselves, not just to help in our own community, but to help those that, you know, have been caught up and don't understand what God is calling us to do, to be prepared to receive them as well. I mean, you know,
anybody that God sends you, but start in your Jerusalem, then go to Judea and Samaria and the other ends of the earth.
Be ready for the knock on your door.
Sure.
It's coming.
Always be ready for that.
There's going to be a knock on the door of those that want to be, to realize, you know, I hope it's not too late. And, you know, the God of, look, the parable about the guys that worked in the field and the guys that came along at the end of the day, they still got paid. But I mean, we got to be ready. If God is preparing you to do something, what are you feeling? What do you think some people are being told to do? I mean, I got a good guess.
And look, some people are being told to give. Some people are told to be hospitable. Some people are told to take the gift they have in a certain skill and to transfer it to others and the younger generation. Mm-hmm. All of that we can do in these communities that we are in every day. Amen. And we can build one another up. Where are the ones who build one another up? Where are those who lift up your arms when they're hanging down? Everybody's running around thinking, you know, depressed or upset about the lockdown. Utilize that time by teaching somebody a skill, something you, I mean, you know how to do radio. You know how to do electronics. Teach that to somebody.
I'm telling you, one of the things that one of several of our listeners have, you know, talked to me by email, by U.S. mail, and have shared a few thoughts, and I agree. It's like, what is your plan going forward? You know, what would happen, and it could someday, what would happen if, you know, we're getting ready to purge the military? What if, and shortwave radio is one of those things that it's going to take a long time for the woke young kids to figure it out. They don't understand shortwave. So in essence, I'm sitting here hiding in plain sight when I'm on shortwave. I really am, because it's not on their iPhone. They don't get it. Am I right?
Right.
And so we're going to have this medium for a while, but the day's going to come, you know, and I do, that someday they're going to tell some of these licensees of some of these private shortwave radio stations, be careful about that hate talk. Be careful about that insurrection talk that you have there, because they're talking about serving God, not man. They're talking about sin. Well, there is no such thing. They're talking about transgenderism being abnormal. Well, it's normal in this world now. You must accept that, or we need to re-educate you. So be careful what you put on those airwaves that we allow you to be on in this country. Mm. And so I know that day's coming. There are several things that are in the back of my mind, and I just want to throw this out there. There is something that is on the back of my mind, as where could a radio station be built that is not in the United States that could still serve the United States, and how much power and what kind of antenna? You know, I know where a transmitter sits, and I know where an antenna sits in a crate that just needs two 160-foot, 170-foot towers to hold it up and could reach a good chunk of this country. And I think I know the place. I'm not going to say it. I never would admit it and tell you on the air. But I think I know a place it could go. And maybe I should be moving. I'm looking. Look, I used to know. I know how to build these things. And I could probably, with a little bit of help from some other engineers and just some, you know, bodies that have got better backs and arms and eyes than I have, you know, building a 20,000-watt or 15,000-watt shortwave, you don't need 50,000, trust me, 15,000-watt shortwave transmitter properly with the right antenna sitting in the right location could serve more than half the United States easy, and another one could serve it the other half.
And if people want to be people of action, they can help fund something like that. That is part of actions we to get this out there.
That could be built in a shop in the United States, created and shipped somewhere else. Yeah. I mean, you know, we don't have to put it on the air here. There's no proprietary parts that people are going to be, oh, they're buying up a tube socket. I must be building something clandestine. Right. It's not going to be that bad yet. But, you know, being prepared. And I know where a unit sits out of the country right now that can be moved to another location within a matter of weeks or months. And it could be prepared within 4 months. It could be done. I still think we're going to have time. Maybe a year, maybe 5 years. I mean, we could have, just because everybody's going to be so internet focused. I mean, look, what is being shut down? The tech tyrants are shutting you down because everybody believes that the world lives on Facebook. It lives in all those places. Am I right? Isn't that what they think?
Sure. Well, it's the media platforms themselves are the controllers. And so everybody thinks that's the way the world is. That is their world.
And the pressure's being put on the big cable TV companies like the Fox News. They've been slammed around. So they've got woke, so they'll go broke. That's what's going to happen to them. Their ratings have tanked. And Newsmax will crumble at some point, I believe. Maybe One America Network, because it is private, you pay for it directly. They'll kick around because there's no platform for them to be kicked off of at the moment. I mean, they're their own platform. And that's what it's going to take for us for a while, our own platform. And then be ready to be, you know, take this program offshore if needed to get back in. I mean, it can be done. You just don't realize, you know, there are a lot of things we're going to have to do. It's time for us. What did you say? It's time for us to take action. So what is the first step?
Well, the first step, as I said, is to start in your local community and to begin to take skills that you have and transfer them. Transfer them to others. Pass them on. Don't let it die with you. And that's what we've done all too often now. Secondly, get off of these major media platforms right now and learn those basic skills. Learn to live without this, without Facebook, without these things. Learn to live without them. You know, I went out to dinner the other night with my wife. There was a couple sitting not far from us, more than 6 feet. Mm-hmm. But they were sitting over there and they had their phones, looking at their phones. They didn't say a word to each other for a half hour. They were just looking at their phones across from one another at the table, take a sip of their beer or whatever, then look at their phone, and then they get up, paid the bill, and left. They didn't even talk. If that's where we're at, that's your life. We need to get away from that. Start socializing, talking, transferring skills, and building up things that you know are going to be needed in the future. And I'm telling you now, God will bless that. We may not have much. Neither did the disciples. He said, "What'd you have?" And they said, "Well, we've got some loaves and a few fish." "Well, just give me what you have." And then he took it and he blessed it and multiplied it. He doesn't ask us to get everything. He says, "Give me what you have." And he blesses it. That, my friends, is what we need to do.
John Henry Bosworth, late in 68, decided that the time had come to settle his estate. The riots of summer were creeping into fall, so he packed his family in the car, chose to leave it home. Out on the open road, his elbow in the breeze, he pulled his woman to him and he gave her heart a squeeze with a song.
That song says a lot of things if you listen carefully to the lyrics, John Henry Bosworth. I want to tell you, we're coming into a very unique time and age, especially for those in the Western world, the United States in particular. We've never experienced anything like this. We thought it was bad, oh, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. It only keeps getting worse. Christians are going to be marginalized, just like in France, just like anywhere else. The pandemic proved it. I got news for you. In many states, your government hates you as a Christian. They think you're weird. They think your kids need to be taken away. We're going to have to build our own communities. We're going to have to meet our own needs. And this radio program tomorrow and into next week, we're going to talk more about it. I think it's one of the most important things we can do right now is prepare the body of Christ to go back to the catacombs. To hide in plain sight. Do you believe in the ministry of Truth to Ponder? Well, if you can help with the shortwave airtime bill, that's all I'm asking. You can do that from the website, or you can mail a check, make it out to Ancient Word Radio, 21 Berkshire Lane, number 263, 21 Berkshire Lane, number 263, Sky Valley, Georgia, Sky Valley, Georgia, 305-37. We'll see you tomorrow.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.